Blog Talk Radio.
Exopolitics. This is our Sunday evening Billy Meyer version of Ohio Exopolitics. We're going to finish up Contact Report 121. I'm also going to cover Contact Report 72. Contact Report 72 is not up on the Future Mankind site. If you haven't ever gone to the Future Mankind site, you should Google that and you'll find all the Billy Meyer contact notes there. James Moore runs that site and he does a really good. Those are all the English translations that we have. And Larry Driscoll, I'm certain, will be adding this to James Moore's website at some point. We're going to talk about a map of Switzerland in the future. Billy was given a map of Switzerland by Semyase, and she warned him of areas that will have earthquakes in the future and areas where atomic weapons may be used in the future. She also talks about some of the future incarnations of people in the group. Evidently, the people that are in Figu now will also be part of Figu in the future. She gave some very interesting dates on future incarnations, and she even included names of some of the people in the Figu that will reincarnate in the future. She talked about 2025, 2033, 2036, 2045, and 2072. And the reason the people in the Figu will be reincarnating so soon and so quickly is to get this information spread out over the world. And then it said something which really caught my eye. It says there will be a coming confusion and maliciousness on the earth. So I guess the question is, which will spread faster across the earth, the knowledge from the contact notes or this coming confusion and maliciousness? And I'm sure everyone that listens to this program has seen this confusion and maliciousness in action. And the Goblet of Truth, another one of Billy's writings from 2009, also talks about the dangers of the third millennium and what will happen with people's relationships. And it says, therefore, you are becoming ever more indifferent to one another, more mistrustful of one another, and increasingly emotionless, disinterested, indolent and obtuse in your interpersonal relationships, which is causing simple human connections to be destroyed and entire families to be ruined. Under such unbearable circumstances, many amongst you will feel a blazing anger rise up in you, and therefore you will torment other fellow human beings or even extract bloody revenge on them. And I think as these historical trends intensify, more and more people will be confused. They won't know why this is happening. This show will try to explain some of the whys and also will help you in some ways to prepare for what is coming. Now, Billy will incarnate again in around 800 years, where he will once again be in the center of the group, but he will reincarnate before then, and he will reincarnate in a rapid form in other parts of the world. He also will spend very little time in the spiritual realm. Now, by 2067, some of Billy's descendants will also reincarnate back into the group. Now, this is Contact Report 72, the first English translation that we will have up on the Future Mankind site sometime in the near future. It'll be up there and available for you. Google Future Mankind if you haven't done so already. By the way, in Himalaya, monasteries contain certain gurus which can determine the birthplace of their new personalities. I wanted to review the different kinds of evolution that there is. We have the evolution of the creational universal conscious, which is a spirit energetical kind of evolution. The human life form has a consciousness evolution. Now, many animals and other creatures have instinct evolution. Plant forms have impulse evolution. So the universal consciousness sends down impulses that cause the plants to grow and evolve. There's also an energy evolution. Sand, stones, crystals, gases, liquids all have a kind of energy evolution. There's also a microevolution. Bacterium, viruses, bacillus, they have a microevolution. And there is an intelligence evolution. Higher species of animals, such as apes, dolphins, horses, ravens, pigs, goats, parrots, buffaloes, cattle, bear, camels, donkeys, various beasts of prey, elephants, dogs, cats, sheep, and so forth, have intelligence evolution, which is not consciousness evolution like human beings have. So there's all the different various categories of evolution in creation. And creation evolves as well. And that's one way that the concept of the universal consciousness is different than the typical religious idea of God, for example, where God is considered to be perfect. He's immutable. He doesn't change. The creation, the universal consciousness, although it's immeasurably higher than us in its intelligence, and its power, it still evolves. And our evolution plays a role in its evolution. Now, there are seven stages to human evolution, which I've talked about before, and I made a few mistakes as well. The first stage of human evolution is primary life or primitive life. It's primary intellectual thinking and consciousness-related thinking. That's a stage one society, typically. We here on Earth are a stage two society. We have rational life. We have the primary development of reason, In this stage, we have a belief in higher powers, a kind of delusional faith, a fear of evil, a veneration of good. It's a germinating time for religions, and our lack of knowledge of the creation makes us vulnerable to powers we don't understand. And at this time, some people will only gain about 9.4 months of spiritual growth in a single lifetime. A third stage evolution involves intellectual life. And this is high-level development of the intellect, high technology. And we will start to develop some of the powers of the spirit. And we will start to generate basic kinds of life forms. And in this stage, we will have the beginning of space travel. Now, we're starting to move into a stage three society. We are leaving behind some of the thinking of the past. We're getting into genetic engineering and the crossbreeding of animals. And the secrets of the universe are just beginning to unfold for us. Now, the Pleiaren are in stage four and stage five. And stage four is called real life, and that's where human civilizations start to utilize spirit power. And in fourth and fifth levels of human evolution, humans can freely travel through space. Typically, in the fourth stage of evolution, there's the breakdown of all religious practices. We start generating more advanced life forms. And this is an interesting comment by Colonel Wendell Stevens on page 78 of Message from the Pleiades. And he goes on to describe Semyasi's beamship and how it has an organic intelligence within it. He says, Colonel Wendell Stevens says, this is a remarkable statement because it indicates the potential for man to create living organisms with his sciences and technologies when they reach a certain level of sophistication. And we are just beginning to do this experimentally in laboratories around the world. We have observed ETs apparently doing this already in a number of UFO cases where living forms are seen to have been created by these ETs to carry out certain tasks. So we see these little kind of automatons, these little genetically created beings. They're often shorter and they do certain tasks. The Pleiadians, the Pleiarens, use part mechanical, part organic automatons to perform specific jobs aboard their motherships. And I remembered Billy when he was when we were studying, I think it was Contact Report 39, that talks about his travel in the mothership, that he wasn't allowed to talk about these automatons very much. Anyway, they do maintenance on the spacecraft, and the beam ship has an organic intelligence in a central computer system that, for example, Semyasi would have telepathic contact with. So the ship was essentially a living being with a metallic hull, and the ships are veritable living entities, and this exceeds the wildest imagination of our science fiction authors, and again confirms the adage that truth is stranger than fiction. In the fifth stage of human evolution is called creational life, or life and creational wisdom. And here in the fifth stage, we have almost total recall of our past lives. And it's at this stage where we master almost all the spiritual abilities, telekinesis, telepathy, teleportation. If you read the book, The Psyche, it talks about even teleportation is possible. So the powers of the human spirit are mind-boggling, and that's probably why Semyasi said that the human spirit is the seed of the infinite, but few are aware of that. So Ptah, for example, would be in the fifth stage of human evolution, being a J-H-W-H, a Ishwish, a king of wisdom. Now, the next stage for these Ishwishes is what's called a transition phase. It's where the disembodiment of the spirit from a physical body occurs. In other words, these people start to have a half-physical, half-spirit body. Now, you can stay in that stage for billions of years, my understanding is. And we'll talk about that a little later. And the final stage of human evolution is labeled life within creation. I'm not so sure that that's the best label, because you're still not really in creation yet at this point. There are seven stages within this last stage. This is where you're totally in the spiritual state. The first stage is Arahat Atharasata, and we talked about that last show. There's also six other stages. I'll read through them quickly. The names won't mean much to you. They don't mean that much to me either. Latano level, Absala level, Dharman level, Ekara level, Lagan level. And finally, the level we've talked about before, Patali level, and that's like the gateway to merging back into creation. So the seventh stage of human evolution is this, what they call creation life, and you're in a pure spirit form. The first of the seven parts of the last stage is Arahat Atharasata, the last stage before we merge back into the universal consciousness is called the Patali level. Now, there were group problems, and we studied that last time, and Billy gets lessons from these higher spiritual planes called Arahat Atharasata and the Patali level. However, because of the bad behavior of the group members, those lessons ended. Now again, Arahat Atharasata is the first level where the pure spirit forms dwell. This is the seventh stage of human evolution, and it takes 60 to 80 billion years to evolve into this pure spirit form. And Billy has a book called Arahat Atharasata. Again, the Patali level is the last stage of the seventh evolutionary stage. And that's the point where we merge back into creation. So anyway, it looks like I do have a caller. I'm going to bring on the air here, 972.
Hey, Mark. It's me, Kosal.
Kosal, how are you tonight?
Great. Just want to drop in and listen, and also to compliment Terry, you know, commentary on your show. And
okay,
also to add on, did you see the picture of the ship? You know, the ship, the fractal ship. The ship, yeah, the one I draw and posted on your web, Facebook.
I think I did see that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the Vimana. That's how it works. I have all the knowledge. And I want to say something. It apparently, like, Shedden Isle and Belly Mile, in some area, their different teachers seem to agree in some area in the creation. In some area, they seem to be 180 degree opposite of each other, big time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You notice that? Like,
yeah,
in the Pleiadian, teaching Billy Miles, well, spirit got to be transported, you know. But in according to the Syrian, that who is the teacher of Shedden Isle, you don't have to. You can go on any planet you want. And therefore, the two teachers seem to be not in conflict, but have a different 180-degree perspective about creation itself. But they seem to float along the same line, but totally different opposite of coin.
Yeah, there are differences.
Yeah. Certainly. And even what Bader may teach me, they seem to be different from Sheridan and Naito too. And it told me that human evolution has already reached its ultimate level, but human being has to acknowledge that. It's already in them. In order to activate it, they have to acknowledge it, say that I am all that. And then next thing you know, they're beginning to become conscious of their super normal, super consciousness, collective ability. But if they don't acknowledge it, it is their own conscious mind that block it. Mm. Even Shredder Nile say the same thing. He contact his higher self to shut down his power, just like he contacted his higher self to activate his power. Remember that part when you were having on a guest show, you asked him specifically, can you still move object with your mind? He say no, and you're asking what happened. He say he connect with his higher self to shut down his power so he can operate among the regular human. And that's the case. Just like I connect with my higher self to activate my power through the bottom way. So it is always what's the higher self that you connect to. I call the higher self what people call God, you know. The higher self is known as God. But the higher mind, you know, right, different name. But the most important thing is I immediately begin to draw the ship and show you it's easy to build. It costs about it's about $700. I estimate a hot glue, the seashell, put it together. It's a 5x5 feet, you know, and the drive system is two huge cones pointing to each other to create the singularity effect. And that's how it is to it. And the human consciousness, which interfaces with the ship, would be like a bowl, but the bowl has a cone pointing toward the center. And that will help to connect the consciousness to the resonant frequency of the ship itself. And I don't know why people make a big deal about UFO, because it's easy to build, and I can demonstrate it to them. That's why I built the Bader May. It is the first system, you know?
Okay,
Let me
know when you get it built, man. I appreciate you calling in this evening. I think I'm going to take a little break, folks, and we'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll start on the second half of the show here. I want to pick back up where we left off with the fires this evening. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Schneider. We're talking about the Billy Meyer case. One of the prophecies in Contact 215 of the Henoch prophecies are these rolling walls of fire and firestorms, which we can now see on a regular basis. The strange thing to me, what still is so strange to me, is that the people of Earth have this locked-in complacency, where, and I'm guilty of it too, where we don't want to be bothered, we don't want to be disturbed, we don't want to look at these things, we don't want to look at these hard realities, these hard truths. We're seeing now incredible amounts of our natural forests being destroyed. The Carlton Complex fire now, my understanding, is one of the largest fires that we've ever seen. It's, for example, I think it's even bigger now, or it's roughly about the same size as the Rim fire. I don't know if you guys remember the Rim fire from last year. That was August of last year, ironically. I think the Rim fire started August 17th. Actually started, yeah, about August 17th in Northern California. It burned 402 square miles. It ranks as the third largest fire in California history. It threatened the water supply of San Francisco, almost destroyed the Yosemite National Park sequoia trees. It destroyed 257,000 acres, and now we have the largest fire in the history of Washington State, the Carlton Complex fire in north central Washington. Like I said, is the largest fire in state history, and as of now, it's 390 square miles, which is roughly four times the size of Seattle.
Wildfires are burning across six western states this morning. A lightning watch is in effect today and could trigger even more fires. The largest fire in state history is burning in north central Washington. It has already claimed nearly 380 square miles. Haley Guntner of our Spokane affiliate, Crem TV, is tracking the conditions firefighters face in the hours ahead.
These photos taken from the International Space Station show the fires that have been burning throughout Washington for more than a week, including the Carlton Complex fire, which is now more than four times bigger than the city of Seattle.
Fire moving at a rate that many of the firefighters I've talked to said is unprecedented. They hadn't seen a fire move like that.
More than 3,000 firefighters are battling several major wildfires in Washington, where more than 150 homes have been lost. Additional water-dropping aircraft flew over the state's remote Cascade Mountains, dousing the flames in areas where ground crews have had trouble making progress.
The conditions are tough, difficult to fight, lots of canyons, lots of narrow inlets, places that are hard to get to establish fire lines.
Fire crews made it to Dave Fretwell's Carlton home just in time.
They put this fire out as the flames were hitting the propane tank.
Before firefighters arrived, Fretwell and his wife held off the flames with a pump sprayer and tractor.
The flames came down through here like 30 or 40 feet high, and I had a garden hose, and I was trying to get this wet.
While temperatures are supposed to remain cooler again today, a storm front is expected to blanket the state on Wednesday, bringing lightning that many worry could set up a whole new round of wildfires. For CBS This Morning, Haley Guntner, Spokane, Washington.
Another forest fire in Enshiat, Washington, started on July 9th, I believe.
This is the Enshiat, Washington, Enshiat River Road fire, about 4.5 miles up. It started yesterday, and I'm taking this picture from my backyard. There's a huge plume above it that you can't see. And the fire started yesterday, and it has spread from this point down to Enshiat and to the south. The highway between Wenatchee and Enshiat is closed, and this is just one area. that the fire is now invaded. It is just amazing. I'm standing here and I can hear the pine trees just being incinerated. Yeah, it's getting pretty close, and it's pretty wild. It definitely looks like Armageddon out there.
What you can't see from that clip is this just giant inferno that goes on for as far as you can see. She's filming this. It's approximately just turned night. And this is just a lady filming this. This isn't a professional news person at all. She's filming this. It looks like it's just over on the next ridge, not far from her home. And it's this just giant glowing red fire coming at night. That's part of the sadness here, is that our society has broken down to the level that we can't even get decent news anymore. So people, they're complacent. They live in ignorance because they don't even know what's going on in their own country. It's a very sad state of affairs. And then, as part of the third millennium, as people become more indolent and more obtuse, we're going to see a kind of maliciousness which comes over people. And we're going to see this ambivalence where people mistrust each other to this high level. I'm going to play another clip here, and this is about these wildfires which are plowing through Washington, even as we speak.
Tonight, hot, dry winds are fanning wildfires in six western states. Hundreds of families have been forced from their homes, and some have no home to go back to. Carter Evans reports Washington is among the hardest hit.
Smoke rose 25,000 feet over the largest fires burning in Washington state. The fire that's destroyed 100 homes in Potreros has scorched more than 168,000 acres. Josh Allen was turned away at a roadblock.
Probably the hardest thing I've had to do. Knowing that your house is burning up.
This fire on the eastern slopes of the Cascade Mountains produced a wall of flames that moved in on the town of Leavenworth. 900 homes have been evacuated, including Tim Germain's.
It really looked like, you know, the cauldron of hell. You know, you could see flames everywhere you looked. With this kind of heat and wind, it looks like eastern Washington is going to burn to the ground.
Across the country, 12 states are experiencing severe to extreme drought conditions. At U.S. Forest Service headquarters in Los Angeles, they're juggling assets to cover areas at risk. But Forest Supervisor Thomas Contreras says that causes other problems.
How does that impact you down here?
Well, it impacts me because now I have a hole where we've moved our assets up there. And again, we want to provide the protection that's necessary here. We will get resources from other parts of the United States to fill in our gaps.
The last time this part of the Angeles National Forest got any rain was back in February. And Scott, it was barely measurable.
Carter, thanks very much.
So, in that particular clip, there are people, I believe, that are lined up on a road and just watching as their homes are burning. And they had to evacuate. And they're just watching as their homes burn. There's really not much they can do. Let me read a little bit from Contact 215. Yet all the apocalyptic events will not only be brought about due to the use of unbelievable, deadly, and destructive weapons, such as chemical laser and others, and by clone murder machines, but in addition to this, the earth and nature maltreated to the deepest depths by the irresponsible human beings of Earth will rise up and cause destruction and bring death unto the Earth. And I think that's what we're really seeing here, is the maltreatment of our planet. And it goes on to say, enormous firestorms and gigantic hurricanes will sweep over the USA and bring devastation, destruction, and annihilation, as this from time immemorial has never been seen before. And we're seeing now these fire natives, as they call them, giant funnel clouds, giant funnels of fire that go up hundreds of feet and with these tremendous wind speeds inside. And it says also here, not only will America, but also all the other Western industrial countries, which still live at the beginning of the new millennium in the delusion that they could dominate and rule over other underdeveloped nations, third world nations, will not only soon lose influence over these, but must defend themselves against them. According to the prophecies of Henoch, the truth about the industrialized nation countries is that they only seem to appear to be true civilizations, but in fact, they are not. Let me read again something which really jumped out at me in Contact 72, which Larry Driscoll did for us here. It says, what's coming to our world is confusion and maliciousness, and that's why the people in Billy's group are going to be incarnating quicker and more often to spread this knowledge, hopefully faster than this confusion and maliciousness. So our civilization only appears to be a civilization, and we're going to find that out very soon. But in fact, they are not, because more and more at the end of the 20th century and at the beginning of the third millennium, they will disregard all true love, true freedom, and true wisdom, as well as true peace, along with all values of humaneness and all values of men and women's true being. I have another clip here on the fires, the fire natives that are running through Southern California right now. Wait a minute, I think I got a caller. Yeah, that looks like Larry. Larry, how are you?
Am I in there? Hi, Mark. Am I'm connected?
You are live on Ohio Exopolitics. We covered your contact report 72. Very important information about these speeded up reincarnation in the group members? Hoping that...
go ahead.
Well, I was just saying they're hoping that this information will spread across the world faster than the coming confusion and maliciousness.
And you are right that I have submitted it to James at the Future of Mankind site. He was in transition. His family, he's moving them, and he said, I chose to send it like I did to you, postal mail, and he gave me the address, so I sent it by postal mail. I think I forgot to include the German original. He probably will ask for that, but I'll get it to him somehow. And you know that we will fill up that 72 hole at the Future of Mankind website. So this is your interest to treat these early translations. This one was exceptional, as well as you could see from the other things that I sent you that it was connected to the Talmud of Emmanuel.
Yes.
Because this is a what I call a modern-day addressing, and you've already addressed the improvement and the more detailed information in terms of the seven layers of involvement. Mm-hmm. But I think that really needs to be expressed is that this information was on our planet in 30 to 35 AD, talked by Emmanuel, written down by 100 AD. And we're trying to get the Earth human that when he or she shows up to the bathroom mirror in the morning to either shave his face or put on her makeup, that they must understand that there's more to them than just this one life that they think. And it's been my goal to work to submit to power authorities on our planet. When I say power authorities, I mean people and institutions that should be attendant to this information since it came from this past, and they should be receiving of it and for their thinking and what have you. And that Jim Dierdorf's site is the highest authority that we have for defense of this being inexistent in the time that it was in 30 to 35 AD, because it was... The sadness is that this knowledge of our reincarnation reality of creation, you've mentioned that subject matter many times on your program, has been taken away from human awareness since 30 to 35 AD. It was spoken and written down by 100 AD. So humans have to understand that this is just not something that Billy Meyer throws out in a New Age way from 1977 on, which is the contact that you mentioned. And the other reference that I sent to you earlier was from Emmanuel. In the 30 to 35 AD, when he spoke about this information, he knew in the future that the celestial sons would be announcing themselves anew in the future to talk about the terms creation and reincarnation and spirit form, all these things that were eliminated from human awareness. And so here you are with your program. You're presenting just very much the information that Emmanuel was talking about in the time. So the key is that this isn't something that is just modern, even though more definition has been offered by Billy and his friends, the scissors, that Jim Dierdorf's site, I say many times, everybody has to pass through the Jim Dierdorf's, the Straits of Dierdorf, meaning through his definition and his research about the genuineness of the PJ, he anchors it as an ancient document. So it's good to know that the work and the information was here. And I can tell you right now that you've mentioned the word creation and you've tried to talk. It's not an easy word to talk about as subject matter, whatever. But if that knowledge was on our planet for these last 2,000 years, we would not be having the problems that we have. Mm-hmm. But the key is that it is a physical reality and it was expressed here early. And that no one should take your word for it, nor my word for it. Jim Dierdorf's, his website, The Talon of Emmanuel, establishes on his webpage the TJ genuineness that, yes, this information was stated at the time that it was, 30 to 35 AD, and written down by 100 AD. It's not like the critics say. Like Robert Price, that, oh, Billy Meyer just took the Gospel of Matthew and invented the Talmud of Emmanuel. Unfortunately, it's too bad we don't have the Talmud of Muhammad, right, for the other Islam. I've sent you that information to show you why Islam was created to counterbalance against Christianity so that the earth would not be overwhelmed by one religion. It is the position of the extraterrestrials who have been involved in our history that they want to present the conditions for earth humans to make their decisions. They don't want to solve our problems, so to speak. And so they created an alternate strength of Islam against Christianity, and we have the two battling religions right now, but it's like Russia versus United States, the battle of powers, mutual annihilation, so nobody gets annihilated, but more time is allowed for human thinking. This is their strategy, why they created Emmanuel, and why Muhammad came out of the same spirit form to create a counterbalance religious and you can see upon our planet in the daily world the stress. But also one of the one things that I found, and I wanted just to relate it on you, in one of the later contexts, Pita says, when the Talmud of Emmanuel spreads across the earth, it doesn't matter that it would be the Talmud of Muhammad. It means that when you read the Talmud of Emmanuel, you learn about the connection of Emmanuel to Muhammad, and you learn about this. And that both the Talmud and of Muhammad and his teachings of Muhammad were both distorted away from the physical reality that was presented. And now we approach in our daily life, now in our present, because Earth humans, whether you believe it or not, they have stronger minds to accept this. And with your show, you are presenting this reality for those that tune in.
Larry, thanks for that wonderful summary. I appreciate that. And thanks for your work translating this material. And stay in touch, please, and I'll be looking forward to your next packet that you send me, sir.
Well, and thank you for giving me that contact, because what you expressed from Marianne Ulicker.
Yes.
The reason I expressed my email to you was that, sometimes like when you were reading the 72nd and the semiotic is saying, don't go over here, build here, this space, sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. As I heard her talking, I was trying, and I thought, you know, I'm an architect by training and by business all my life. I'm always trying to put things into visual form as opposed to literary form, all right? And one of the benefits of the 72nd contact is you can see they had a map there. So describing the areas like Semyazi was saying is interesting. But, and like Deborah Glazer asked me to locate this Semyazi Center, I think I sent that a copy to you eventually, but it's there. Anybody can go Google, like you say. It's kind of funny on Google, when you go there and go satellite image, it's like you're being in Semyazi's beamship, and you can look down at that wonderful green area of our planet. So it's there, but the point is sometimes it's worth talking about things, and sometimes it's worth drawing a picture.
Absolutely.
If the universe would have a physical body that you look around, the physical form, that would be its physical body, but its language is mathematics, as I'd like to say. And everything's connected, and you've already talked about the fractal, and you've gone into that depth about how things just kind of line up. But that's another story, but a very good presentation. You've wielded a good Billy Meyer quilt, and it's also nice that you, again, relate to the everyday happenings like the fires that we've talked about before.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate you calling in. Have a good evening, sir. I'm going to play this next clip that talks about these fire natives that are, again, going through Southern California right now.
This is a live look at San Marcos, California, homes right in that path of the flames. A fire nado, it's where wind funnels the flames upward, similar to a twister or a tornado, not something you see every day there. Take a look at that amazing picture there on the right. Meantime, thick black smoke darkening the skies in a suburb of San Diego as a heat wave helps those fires spread, thousands of people ordered to leave their homes.
Right across the street, these big black plumes of smoke, it just seemed to come out of nowhere. It was nowhere near us, and then all of a sudden it was there.
Our neighbors had already been into our house. They were carrying our dogs,
and
they rescued our animals.
You leave your house, I just get the chill thing about it, thinking, I hope I see it when I come back.
Will Carr is live with the latest. Will, what's going on right now?
Hi, Julia. Well, we're in North San Diego County, where the San Marcos fire burned throughout the night and continues to burn this morning. So far, it's forced thousands to evacuate. It's burned three homes, and there is 0% containment. Now, this is one of nine fires that broke out through the area yesterday. In all, they burned more than 9,000 acres. In Carlsbad, which is about 35 miles north of downtown San Diego, the fire raced up hillsides. Firefighters brought in air support, but in some cases, it just wasn't enough. We spoke to one homeowner who lost everything.
We came back and we're checking on it naturally to see what was going on, and then we found that it's caught fire. I can't do any more or any less. It's a loss, and I'm very upset. And my BMW that I love so much too is fried. I can't, you know, it's dead now, and that really upsets me, but what can I do?
Let me read a little more what it says here in Contact 215. As already mentioned, enormous natural catastrophes and rolling walls of fire and violent hurricanes will rage across America, while in addition, all the terrible effects of war will bring thousandfold deaths, destruction, and annihilation. America's largest cities will be absolutely destroyed, and firestorms will cause great disaster and misery. Now, these fires are not the only thing we're going to face. We're going to have severe earthquakes, and volcanic eruptions will also bring to that time, and these will cause much suffering and misery and death besides enormous destruction and devastation, as all of the nature and the planet itself will rise up against the insanity of the human beings of Earth. However, tornadoes, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions will not only rage in America, but also in Europe and in the rest of the world. Let's pick back up with these fires.
We'll even have places to live by the day's end. The wildfires burning across San Diego County in California, leaving some folks with just seconds to clear out.
There is a fire. If you're in your house, evacuate your house and run to the closest street.
Come on. Folks in more than 20,000 homes and businesses had to rush out of there. Several raging fires have ripped through homes, closed schools, and forced evacuations at a nuclear power plant. We'll show you where the fires are burning up in our wall. At one point, there were 9 of them today. These aren't brush fires out in the middle of nowhere. They're burning in the crowded suburbs of San Diego itself. This is Carlsbad, an awful scene there yesterday. San Marcos here a little bit inland, and now some pictures of the scene. Temperatures approaching the 100-degree area, especially in the high desert and to the east. 10 major fires over 2 days. Firefighters did catch a break when the winds died down this morning, but they report that one fire in the city of San Marcos, as I showed you a moment ago, is still burning out of control. In nearby Carlsbad, the fire chief reports at least 22 homes burned down, including an entire condominium complex. Elementary school students say they were sitting in class when they saw the flames creeping closer.
We saw when it started in the morning, and we saw it spread, and we saw fire and smoke and everything. I thought they were going to take care of it, but it got worse and we had to go.
And we are just at the beginning of what is proving to be a catastrophic fire season in California. The fire chief there says he has never seen such extreme fires this early in his nearly 3 decades of firefighting. Will Carr is on Fox Top Story, and he's live for us this afternoon in San Marcos. What are conditions like now, Will?
Hi, Jeff. Well, if there's any good news, it's that the winds have died down, the winds that have been pushing these fires around for more than 24 hours. The fire that is top priority for firefighters right now is the San Marcos fire. It's only 5% contained, and there continue to be hot spots all throughout the area. In fact, earlier today, one of those hot spots ended up burning an 18-unit apartment complex, and this comes after a separate fire ripped through Carlsbad yesterday. Carlsbad, about 35 miles north of downtown San Diego. That fire destroyed.
Let me read a little more about other things that are going to be occurring or could occur. These activities have already begun at the present time and also during the past decades, with the exception that they will become increasingly more devastating in the future. So what is happening is that our forests are being destroyed. The forests moderate the climate. Since we don't have the forests to moderate our climates, our climate is going to become more and more intense. And the man of Earth is guilty for the most part today, as also in the future it is man who will destroy the entire environment, all of nature, the atmosphere, water, and all the resources of the planet. You notice it said water, and I've done shows on fracking now. Every fracking well takes between 1 and 8 million gallons of water. They fill this water with hundreds of toxic chemicals pump it deep into the earth. They take this strange drill bit slash gun down there, and they cause these explosions, which break up the shale and allow this natural gas to escape, and they capture the natural gas. Well, the problem is they pollute millions and millions and trillions of gallons of water. Now, one thing they've noticed with the fracking is that it causes earthquakes. And this next verse here talks about the earthquakes. And through this, a shifting of weight inside the earth takes place, caused, for example, by the creation of gigantic lakes by damming and by creating hollow caverns due to the exploitation of petroleum and gas, as I was just telling you about. And thereby unnatural inner earth movements are created, which also lead to unnatural tectonic effects. In Youngstown, Ohio now, I think they've had 3,000 earthquakes in the past 2 or 3 years, if my memory serves me correctly. In Toledo, Ohio recently, there were 1 million people without water because of certain things going on up there. Anyway, and thereby unnatural inner earth movements are created, which also lead to unnatural tectonic effects and cause earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, which in also turn cause enormous climatic changes. Remember, all of this is interrelated. You destroy your forests, which moderate the climate. You get more intense storms, and then we go down, we frack to get natural gas, which causes earthquakes. The earthquakes then lead to enormous climatic changes, resulting in horrendous tornadoes of devastating proportions, which in the end will set their destructive energies free on the entire world. Now, let me get back to this clip on the fires in Southern California.
Would stay on the other side of that, but instead, I want to keep listening. I'll drop back into her. They're not expected to come over this ridge so quickly, and you can hear reporters on scene were kind of stunned by it. If these flames do get to the neighborhood, and it looks like they're getting very close, these firefighters will stay and protect as long as they can, but will there comes a time, they've evacuated the neighborhood, they've told the people to leave, and the last thing you want is for firefighters to be in jeopardy. And good grief, would you look at that? That is another, we're beginning to form one of those flame tornadoes that we're seeing yesterday. The winds begin to circulate with the heat from the flames and then the canyons around it. You get one of the little wind tunnels, which maybe in the front of us, a skyscraper in New York City, might cause the papers to blow in the air. Here it's taking flames up like a tornado and rushing toward this neighborhood. There is no moisture in anything. The rainy season didn't happen.
That's right. You know, obviously, we're in the middle of a horrible drought in this part of California, really throughout the entire state. It is so bone dry around here that one spark really can start a huge fire. And actually, as I'm talking, we have multiple planes flying over. They're dropping water. They're dropping retardant on these flames. And, you know, the frustrating part for these firefighters is that they get on top of them and then they jump again, Chef.
Yeah, Will, they're headed for this neighborhood. And this is an unbelievable scene. Our friends at KSWB are shooting this from this neighborhood as the flames come over the ridge and begin to devour this neighborhood. As you can see, fire trucks are now on the move. Fire personnel out.
Anyway, we'll pick up next week with all this amazing stuff that's going on. I want to thank everyone for listening. You're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder.